You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Today on the Word of Truth Revealed.
So before we say it, we should listen. I say we should listen twice, because he gave us one mouth but two ears. Write it down. Maturity is always measured by response, not by age. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. So if I were looking at a group of people, the one that strikes out first may not be the most, even if you're the oldest, but just without even thinking about it, the first one that says something, first one that's got to say something. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath, according to the word. Do you ever size it all up? Like, look at the whole dynamic before you make comment.
Celebrating 30 years of ministry, you're listening to The Word of Truth Revealed with Bishop Merton L. Clark, author, speaker, and lead pastor of Truth Revealed International Ministries, a spirit-filled fellowship of believers located in Palm Bay, Florida.
I want you to think about another word, stability. Be ye steadfast, immovable. Stability. There is no sustainability without being immovable, without being rooted, established, and matured. I want you to think about reactions and discernment and stability. But here's the fourth thing that I want you to think about is spiritual weight. Spiritual density, spiritual tonnage, spiritual iron, not shackles, stability, spiritual weight, spiritual anchorage, matured. It is the growth that is beyond emotions. Discernment takes us beyond emotional states. It's not to say we can't have them. How many of us have emotional states? We all have them, but they do not rule us. Emotions doesn't dictate how we flow or how we spend money. I didn't get an amen on that. Man, the mall can tell when we hurt. Oh my God, Trader Joe's can tell when you upset. Millennial can tell when you don't like something. Neiman Marcus can tell when you got your heart hurt. Car dealerships can tell when you going through. You know why? Because we spend emotionally. Jesus said, if you're going to build a tower, you must count up the cost. That means divorce yourself from emotions so you'll make a wise decision. Before you make a major purchase, wait a day. For some of us, it needs to be three. If you really want to be a good car buyer, be able to say no and walk away. No, I don't think so. Well, we got the paperwork right here. Wait a minute. Hold up. It'll help you. I practice these things. I've saved people a lot of money over the years just by divorcing yourself from the emotions. Maturity speaks to that. Again, reactions or resilience. How do you react? Or do you respond? Discernment, the skill that's developed to detect good from evil. Stability, being rooted and grounded in the truth. And spiritual weight, the kabod in your life. And to remain and to be constant, to be on point, the power of presence. We must remain mature. Maturity requires more than just passion. for the moment. We got to move to the point where we, even if there is no passion, I'm going to stand. Passion gets you started, but maturity keeps you going. And people are looking for that fuel of passion all of the time. But no, maturity says, even if there's no passion, I can continue on my trail, on my track, because I'm matured. And maturity keeps me moving forward. When my gas runs out, my gas tank of passion, I have a second tank called the tank of maturity. And though he slay me by allowing me to be drained, yet will I trust him. When I'm going through my weakest moment in life, or when I'm going through the most complex situation in my life, I can keep my focus because maturity keeps me going. I started, yeah, with the fire of passion, but I will finish the work with maturity. The Tower of Babel in Genesis 11, I believe. When they got to Shinar, they decided to build. Passion is right in the midst of it. Purpose. We're building a tower. Unity. We're all working together. Effective communication. We're all speaking one language. But we also need a fire of desire to get the work started. And here's the missing link. You need maturity to finish the work. Anybody can have children, but it takes maturity to raise them. Anybody can start school, but it takes maturity to finish it. Anybody can start a church, but it requires passion and maturity to finish it, to suffer long with people through hell and high water. And it takes maturity even from the members of the church to stick with a crazy pastor that lost his hair and that preached wild and walk around sometime his chair and sometime go off. Amen. Well, go off then, Bishop, but I'm with you. Yes. Amen. Shouldn't be some time where I got to win you over every week. Where's the maturity? I need mature believers who want a mature pastor. And if I meet you at the top, hallelujah, don't come up slap on the other side halfway up and talking about you should come and reach me when you got the ability to go all the way to the top. There's too many young ones out here we got to rescue. Oh my God, help me, Jesus. So your bald head bishop that go off every once in a while, I want you to meet me at the top too. And when I'm not at 100, who's going to meet me there? You want me to be at 100 all the time, but what's up with you? I'm preaching, man.
Yes, you are.
That's right. So if you with it, I shouldn't have to win you over every week. And for those of you that are straggling out there at home when you should be in the house of God, get to the house. Stop playing with me. Stop playing games. I need you to get on point. We got too much work to do.
Yes.
All right. I remember being in Okinawa at Camp Hansen. I don't know. Well, you have to be in the Marines to know what I'm talking about right here. And I was in NCO school, and one of the most powerful, impressive black sergeants pulled me into the head, which is called the bathroom in the military. The head is the bath. That's what they call the bathroom, the head. The window is called the scuttlebutt. The floor is called the deck. I mean, everything is just renamed. I had to learn that language. Marines are called devil dogs, not angel dogs. You bark. It's crazy. You learn all of this terminology. So I was in NCO school. I was elevated to the NCO rank, and they sent me to NCO school to learn how to be a leader. And this impressive sergeant, he was a fifth degree black belt. His knuckles were all calloused from hitting hard objects. And he was in shape like you wouldn't believe. And he was one of the instructors. And so he pulled me in the bathroom or in the head, and he said, "Listen, Clark, I noticed you. I see some leadership in you." I'd never been affirmed by a man before. So I was raised where whatever you do for Christ will last. And you don't need affirmation. But whatever you do for Christ will last. And anybody affirming anyone was considered to be praised unless you were the leader. So children didn't get a lot of affirmation. So this man just speaking to me like that, he said, "Listen, man, I see leadership in you. And I want you to start thinking about this, that, and the other. I'm watching you," right? I was like, wow, I didn't say much. I just listened. He said, "I believe you're going to do great things in the Marine Corps, like you're going to bust it open." But I didn't hear that. I heard I'm going to do great things. I believe God curved me because I don't believe a person's prophecy should shape you. Just because they prophesy, you trying to fulfill what they said. You better know what God is saying. Oh, they told me I'm going to listen. Listen, prophets prophesy in part. You need somebody that's going to help to develop that. The man said, "You're going to do well in the Marines. I see you doing stuff in the Marines. You're going to bust it wide open." But I felt to hold that. I don't know if I'll do 20 years. I just felt before I commit to that, because you said it and you're impressive, I need to hold up on saying, yeah, I just got quiet. And I was right, because the Spirit told me to leave and I didn't want to. Anyway, we started running. Here's 60 of us running together, and they're calling cadence. And the reconnaissance group, there was four guys from recon, which I don't know what the upper echelon military unit is called in the Air Force. But they're physically, really physically fit, and there's a different challenge. For the Navy, it's called the SEALs. For the Army, it's called the Rangers. For the Marines, it's called reconnaissance, the recon. I'm not familiar with the Air Force's upper echelon. What is it called?
BJs.
PJs? PJs. Okay. The PJs. And so we were running, right? And the reconnaissance guys, they were in the, you know, extra good shape, right? It was four of them. They kept saying, "We're going too slow. Pick it up. This is boring." That's what they were saying while everybody's running. I was like, "Please don't run faster. Please. I'm just trying to hold on." Like many people in the church, we're running a certain pace. You just sucking wind. I'm tired. We're just barely moving and you tired. Then some people are so impatient. "Why are we going so slow? I thought he said that last year." Recon folk, right? Discernment. Know where we're going. Until you get a Staff Sergeant Brian, on you. He said, "Recon, fall out, follow me." Now we're running. He said, "Stick with me since you're recon." And he took off running. Now he's running, we're all running, but he ran on our right side, came across, then ran back, went to the back side, and then ran back up the right side. He was running circles around us as we were running, full speed, like he was running the 100-yard dash. And those four boys stuck with him, man. He was running like he was running a marathon, man, sweating. And they were running with him, and they stuck with him all the way to the end. And when we finished, they fell out throwing up. And he was just standing there looking at, "You want to run again? You want to run again since you're all powerful?" He never had to fight any of those guys again. I learned from that. We all run in the race, but you got to run so you can receive the prize. Some run slower and some faster, but you got to have the mindset. Maturity says, "I want all of us to finish, not just a set few." And when you start thinking like that, maybe you can run circles around the ministry and our pace, but how many can finish with you? many can finish with your pace? Or do you temper the pace to make sure even the last one will become first? And the first last. And if they were all yours, your children, would you want one left behind? And what if there were wolves around the sheep? Would you want one left out of the gate at nighttime? And what if there were snakes all around us? Would you want your grandchild eaten up by a boar because you just wouldn't let yourself rest with the rest? Because in numbers, we can make it. But if you start straggling and going out one by one, we become a target. And if God made you so powerful, use it to save the ones that are weak. Because maturity says, I was trained in discernment to discern good from evil. And it may look like we can all be powerful, but if I lose my brother or sister along the way, then my work is in vain. I couldn't run with Bryant. I was just trying to stick with the pace. But he's the one that pulled me into the room and said, you're going to be a great leader. And it taught me a lesson. You don't have to be the fastest to be the great one. But do you have maturity? Are you the one that makes sure everybody gets a meal? Or do you just eat yours and you're out? Do you sit back and make sure every single one eats first? That's the maturity we're looking for. I'm going to put on the screen for a moment, James chapter 1, verse 19 and verse 20. And I want you to read it with me together. I got something to say to you. 1, 2, ready, read. So then, verse 20. Now here we see maturity. Be slow to speak, quick to what? Hear, and slow to wrath, because anger doesn't produce maturity. So before we say it, we should listen. I say we should listen twice, because he gave us one mouth but two ears. Write it down. Maturity is always measured by response, not by age. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. So if I were looking at a group of people, the one that strikes out first may not be the most, even if you're the oldest, but just without even thinking about it, the first one that says something, the first one that's got to say something. Be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to wrath, according to the word. Do you ever size it all up? Like, look at the whole dynamic before you make comment. That's why I believe as a teacher that the Lord doesn't allow me to say the same thing every time, so people know what I'm going to say next. God is good
all the time.
I don't believe God wants us to have me to have cliches, so you know what I'm going to say next. So I change it up. I may start off by quoting the 23rd Psalm slow. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then I'll speed it up. And he makes me to lie down in green pastures. Then I may move to the next Psalm, Psalm 46. You want to keep going. He leads me beside still waters. Yeah, because I know that. I moved to Psalm 46. God is my refuge. And why are you still quoting Psalm 23? Because I don't want anybody to think now you know what I'm going to say next. I'm a teacher. And if you don't already know what I'm going to say, it means you're not feeding from me. And it's critical that you're able to eat here. That's why I spend the time trying to get a word from God. It's easy to run from city to city and preach people like out of their mind. It's harder when you got to deal with the same people every week. Believe me, you need a flow from God to do that. They'll stick with you for 2 months, but a year? Man, I heard that before. That man not even making sense. That's what they're saying. He's monotone. Man, God. That's why a lot of people, God don't allow you to hear what people are saying, but I can see the little bubbles over your head. Bloop, bloop. Dang. Maturity is measured by responses, not age. So you can be 50 and be the most mature in a room of 80, people that are predominantly 80. You could be 20 and be the less mature among teenagers by how you respond. According to that scripture, be slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to speak. Why would we want to be quick to hear? Because if you're fast to hear, you may not catch what the person talking is trying to say. You're trying to finish what they're, I got that. That's too fast. Let me say what I need to say. You say what you need to say and get the whole gamut here. Because maturity says, I want to understand you before I respond to you. I also want to exercise patience when you're talking. What if you got attention and deficit disorder? You got to keep moving. Well, work on it. See, these neurons in your mind, you got to work on that. You got to start working on it, telling your mind every day, I'm in charge, not you. You got to tell your thoughts, surrender to God, not my emotional state. You got to tell emotions, align up with the will of God. God, save my emotions. So why are they still acting like I'm a child? I got to call that in, call those emotions in. I'm mature in Christ. I'm not a babe. According to Hebrews chapter 5, I have to be able to discern. I got to be able to take the word and use it skillfully. Then I can discern good and evil, from good from evil. Glory to God. So the number of years that I've been pastoring doesn't mean I'm a mature person. How do you respond, Bishop, Pastor? How do you respond to offenses? Yeah. How do you respond to offenses? How do you respond when you're corrected? When somebody says you shouldn't do that, how do you respond? You can judge maturity by how you respond. How do you respond when you're disappointed? It means you were appointed and then you're disappointed. How do you respond? Does emotions take over you? Have you lost thrust? This is a big one for me. How do you respond when you're misunderstood? In my earlier years, if I'm misunderstood, I can't just let it go. I have to watch it even now. That's not what I meant. Yes, you did. That's what you said. Well, that's not what I meant. I used to be that used to bother me a whole lot more than it does now. But you can find yourself. Where are you? What marker do you have? I was in boot camp and the drill instructor in there, man, you can't scratch. So if a horsefly fell on, got on your head in the Marines and was biting you, you can't swat it. You have to let them bite. That's part of the training. So in Carolina in the summer, there was a lot of horseflies. The horses flies, they're large and they fly on horses, right? Bloodsuckers. Thing flew up on this dude, man, and the man walked up to him and said, "Don't you mess with my fly." Blood's running down the side of his head. He just stood there, man. I was like, my God. That's part of the training. One flew on me. I could handle it because I was from Florida. I was used to mosquitoes and stuff like that. Because my father wasn't one of those tiptoes type fathers. It's like, get on the truck. It wasn't no, well, I don't feel it's too hot. Get on the truck. That's all he was. I just came from high school. Get on the truck. Get on the truck. Can't even hang out with friends. Get on the truck. Man, we out cutting grass and stuff, man. All through high school. All through middle school and high school. And so I was used to discipline like that. When I got in, and they said, don't swat my mosquitoes. I just let them eat. It happened. But some dudes, man, especially if they didn't have a father in their lives, they were hurting, boy. Oh, my God. And that, they got him in more trouble. My problem was being misunderstood. So the guy, we were sitting up under a tree one day, and he said, Clark, and when you talk, you don't sit. You have to stand up. But when I was standing up, I was correcting my blouse. Like you have to have your pants, what do they call it? It's a strap you put there, and you put the pants underneath it. It's right on top of the boot. I can't remember what it's called. But you blouse your pants. I think that's what they say. And I was straightening that out. But he says you're scratching. But I wasn't scratching. What? Don't talk back to me. And he just went off, man. But that thing rose up in me. But I wasn't scratching. And they caught a weakness in me, man. For the next week, I was punished. They put my back on the wall, put a M16. I had to squat down and hold it there while I'm trembling and sweating. We get to the quarter deck. Get on the quarter deck, do bends and thrusts, Clark. Till I'm sweating, just got out of the shower in flip-flops. Make me go into a sand pit and throw up sand, make it rain. Then take the dirty T-shirt, put it in my pocket. And every time we did it again, I got to pull the dirty T-shirt out and put it on. Mind games, right? Just because I said one mistake, like, I wasn't scratching. Why would God? I was like, God, why are you taking me through this so I can handle y'all? So some of the stuff that bothers us, I'm like, man. Well, I wouldn't take that. I know. That's why I'm in charge. And I'm telling you, you can do better than you're doing because we're on a maturity track.
Thanks for joining us for the Word of Truth Revealed. If you were blessed by today's message, we would love to hear from you. You can email us at thewordoftruth@truthrevealed.org.
Awaken Women, remember to join Pastor Sabrina for Women's Sunday School every Sunday at 10 a.m. Youth Church is in full swing. Connect your middle and high schoolers with their peers in a fun and high energy environment where they can be mentored and grow together every Sunday at 8:15 and 11:15 a.m. Join the movement. Come thrive with us. Ladies, it's time to manifest. Join host Pastor Sabrina on September 25th and 26th at TR Maine for two powerful days of surrendered hearts, disciplined faith, and intentional steps. Hotel accommodation is available at Hampton Inn and Suites. Use group code MNF or mention Manifest Women's Conference for special two-night rates. Don't wait to secure your spot. Head over to the Truth Reveal app or register online today.
Again, thank you for joining us and have a blessed day.